All right, just good to see you all today. And just to remind us of the theme, through mighty signs and wonders by the Spirit of God, Romans 15:19, and this talk is along the lines of that particular scripture. And I suppose if you think about in this world, there are a number of regulatory bodies which are around the world. Some that come to mind, for example, is ANSI. That's where we get the American National Standards Institute. Another one is ISO. That's the International Standards of Organization of Standardization. And you've also got Standards Australia. And these particular bodies, they govern and regulate, you know, a whole myriad of different things which we take for granted in society. For example, the Building Code of Australia, like the way we build houses. Sure, there are variations from state to state, or even council to council in some respects. But you know, whenever we get a house built, you know, we have some satisfaction and some confidence within ourselves that what is being built and we're going to live in isn't going to fall down on our heads, and things along those lines. And for example, you go to a petrol station, and you know, the on the petrol pump it says it costs you $1.42 for a litre of petrol, and so you need to be assured that when you pump from the pump that you get a litre of petrol. So you sort of feel confident about that. It'd be horrible if you're paying $1.42 and you only get half a litre of petrol. So all of the pumps in Australia are regulated by an authority which makes sure that when the petrol flows it does dispense a litre of petrol at the same time. And you're probably wondering, well, what does all this have to do with this particular scripture in Romans 15:19? And it just turned to Acts chapter 2 verse 22 now. And while you're turning, I'll just carry on. It says, "You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles, wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you all, as you yourselves also know." And so Jesus was given approval by God for the things that he did. And I suppose it allows us as individuals, as humans, to respect that what Jesus was doing wasn't something that he just came up with one day. It was the fact that the Lord God in heaven, who is the ultimate standard bearer in everything. And I mean, you know, you pick up your iPad or you pick up your Bible these days, and that particular book is God's standard. It's God's sign and signature of approval is written all over it. And why was that done? Because God wants you and I to have 100% confidence and reliance in the fact that whatever his word says is accurate. It is true, and it will do whatever it was supposed to do. And so, you know, we can put it into practice in our lives. The Lord says, you know, obey my word and don't lean to your own understanding. And when we do that, we find that life sort of generally goes better for us. Okay, there are times when the world throws the curveballs at us, as we all know. And the opposition is trying to bruise the heel of every one of us, bruise the heel of Jesus, like was prophesied there in Genesis chapter 2 or 3. And he's trying to hinder our walk in the Lord, for example. But this Bible is our standard, and so Jesus was approved by God. And the word approved is to cause something to be known as genuine, to be authenticated, so that nobody can gainsay it. Nobody can turn around and go, "Oh no, well that's not quite right," you know, because literally they're arguing against the Lord God of heaven, and they might want to argue against you and I, but people can't argue against God and win, because God is undefeatable in this world. And also the idea of a miracle, it's some deed which manifests great power. For example, when somebody has a brain tumor, that's a natural process that happens within a human, and all of a sudden somebody comes along and puts their hand upon them
and you know, the brain tumour goes away. I mean, that's an amazing manifestation of great power. That's unusual. It just doesn't generally happen. You know, you go to a doctor and they see people sort of get these tumours and then eventually may die from them, and they try, you know, bits and pieces, treatments to try to remedy the problem. But all of a sudden, somebody with the power of God in their lives and prays for someone and sees it goes away. I mean, that's quite an unusual thing to happen. And, you know, it's a force in itself. You know, when that guy was at Gate Beautiful, hadn't walked from his birth, and, you know, and looked upon Peter and John thinking, I'm going to get a few shekels maybe to help sustain my life. And Peter and John, you know, they weren't necessarily cheapskates. They probably just didn't have a lot of money on them. And they said, well, we've got something a little better for you. And something a little unusual, something that you probably weren't expecting to happen. And so when they prayed for him, they lifted him up, and ankles and his feet received strength, and he went on his way in his merry life. You don't hear what necessarily happened to him after that, but the notable thing is that the Word of God points out that it was you know, the disciples that had the power of God in their lives, and they were credible and they were authentic and they were genuine. No, people couldn't deny it. Okay, another one, John 3, chapter 1. John 3, verse 1, sorry. And this is, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher coming that's come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And so it was very obvious to Nicodemus. I mean, he was a religious leader of the time. He was a ruler of the Jews, had some authority in the particular area that he lived. And he obviously observed Jesus and saw what he was doing. So he decides clandestinely or secretly to go to him one night and ask him, you know, what's going on here? You know, what are you doing here? In respect, what's the meaning of all of this? And, you know, and Jesus was very, very quick to point out, look, you know, I could sit here all day explaining to you how I got here and why I got here, but the simplicity of it is, you know, you need to be saved. You need to be born again. You need to receive the Holy Spirit and so on. And so, you know, Jesus was quite succinct about his mission and the gospel that he was going to preach. And, you know, Nicodemus, we know he was convicted by what Jesus said. He stood up for Jesus to the Pharisees at a slightly later stage, said, we should give this man a bit of fairness. You know, we should judge him and listen to what he has to say. And the Pharisees didn't quite appreciate that at the time. They said, oh, you know, nothing comes out of Galilee, which is good. And we also know that he attended to the body of Jesus after he was crucified, and, you know, like put the ointments and the shroud and, you know, the linen cloth around him, preparing him for his death. And so he was obviously taken aback by what he'd seen, and he could see there was something authentic about Jesus, that, you know, God was with him and he was approved. And so, you know, that's the same thing for you and I, when, you know, when some of us may have had a healing before we came along to the Lord. I didn't personally have a healing before I came along. Mine came afterwards. But some of us may, and that convinced us that this is something beyond what we understand as humans. This is an amazing thing to happen and so on. So, you know, and in John chapter 11, and this is just after, you know, Lazarus was risen from the dead. And verse 45, and then many of the Jews came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed in him. But some of them went their way to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. And they gathered the chief priests and the council and the Pharisees a council and said, what do we do? For this man does many miracles, and if we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him. And the Romans shall come and take away both our place and our nation. And one of them named Caiaphas, being the high priest the same year, said unto them, you know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not. And what is amazing about this is that even the religious leaders were, you know, I mean, their concern was losing their power and their authority with the Romans and so on, and simply because of the potential of Jesus. If they allowed Jesus to keep going, all men would believe on him. And so that's how powerful the gospel is. And a man can't stop it, and all the people said. You can't. You just cannot stop it, because if you persecute Christians in one place and they move to another place, what's the first thing they start doing when they get to the next place? Is they start preaching the gospel. They start, you know, praying for people. They start getting out there, handing pamphlets out. And all of a sudden, that town starts to get miracles. That town, that starts to get wonders and so on, and signs. And the gospel just spreads. And in effect, that's what happened in the first sort of 67 years of the gospel in that particular area. It spread all the way around, all the way up to Turkey and Greece and Rome and all over the place, because of the persecutions that were occurring, and the gospel was just going forward. This gospel is going to be published in every nation, it says, before the Lord does return. And I mean, and you know, there's been a lot of nations that have had the gospel preached over the last, 1983 years or whatever. And you and I are very much part of that. We're very much part. Our part of the vineyard is based upon the authenticity of the Bible. Our ministry is approved by God, because we're seeing the same things that Jesus Christ did within us. And that's sort of something which is a bit extra from what you can see in modern day, you know, religious teachings. The religious teachings are more, you know, about gaining control and gaining power, gaining authority and manipulating the population, for example, whereas the Word of God is not like that at all. The Word of God is to provide people an incentive and an encouragement to continue to stick with the Lord and continue to sort of be there on that day. You know, something which has got a very powerful motivating force behind it. You know, it's fantastic when you can talk to someone and pray for someone and you lay your hands on them and all of a sudden a joy comes into them and they're delivered. I mean, I remember when I first came along with the Lord, there was seemed to be people getting healed all over the place. You know, you're just sort of speaking to someone and you're praying with them and they're sort of getting healed of, you know, earaches. And one guy, I remember, I know he had a broken toe, and prayed with him one day and he took his Doc Martin boot off really, really quick and he grabbed his toe and he's there, I don't believe this. He's there, that was broken. I've got an x-ray sitting in my home at the moment. It shows that toe's broken. He was into judo and he broke his toe when his toe jammed during a match, and he came along to the Lord. And a friend of mine, I remember coming out of the doctor's surgery one day, he had an earache, and I said, "Oh, would you like me to touch your ear and ask God to heal you?" He goes, "All right, why not?" So I said, "Heal him, Lord," and he just goes, and he just slapped his head like that, and he said, "What?" He said, "That can't happen. You know, now I've got to go back to work," he said. You know, but the point is that was just a really exciting time. You know, and the Holy Spirit comes in and it just grabs hold of you. And if you've got new folk among you, you just attach yourself to them, because it's going to get exciting. You're going to get out and you're going to see some miracles and signs and wonders, that first love and that real faith and that real time of joy where they've met the Lord. And these things start happening in their lives. As we get older in the Lord, you know, we sort of we learn maybe necessary to slow down a little bit at times. But when people first come along to the Lord, they just get out and do it, and it's just a real joy to see it happen and so on. Okay, so you know, the impact of signs, wonders, and miracles is an amazing motivating force, you know. In John chapter 21, verse 24, And says, and this is John testifying again in his gospel. And he goes, this is the disciple which testifies of these things and wrote these things. And we do know that this testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. So, John was a very sort of observant, apostle. And he was with Jesus for the 3.5 years. And he was unable to sort of capture fully the extent of what Jesus did, the impact that Jesus had upon people's lives. And wherever he went, there was just this amazing sort of, changes that were occurring, and people's lives were being restored. People were given hope, and to sort of like join themselves unto his way. In the end, there was probably literally thousands and thousands and thousands of miracles that people observed in his 3.5 year ministry. And there were 120 faithful disciples who were there at the end who said, well, I've made my choice. I am going to be there. I'm going to receive the Holy Spirit, which Jesus has asked of me. And they did. And then you read through the book of Acts, and it just continued. It just went further and further and further astray. And, Jesus, he left the earth. He went to heaven to prepare a place for you and I to send back the Holy Spirit. And he's waiting for us to meet him in the air when he comes back, and so on. But also God, never forget that God's always also approved every single one of us. If you're Mark chapter 16, in verse 14 we read, and afterwards he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and they're having a bit of a dinner there, and he upbraided them their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven. It's the same time as Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1 mentions power, and Luke mentions power in the book of Acts, and Mark's mentioning exactly what Jesus said, what the power would be, and these are the things that were going to happen. And the Lord worked with them, confirming the word with signs following. So just as Jesus was approved of God through signs, wonders and miracles, you and I are also approved with God. Now this is a very important point, because we can identify readily who is in the church and who isn't in the church. And so that when the word of God is going out to the church people, we know that they will understand it, because Jesus said he would bring, or the Spirit will bring all things to remembrance, everything that he said. It would testify of Jesus. It would lead them into all truth. And the only people that can sort of get that threefold download from the Spirit are the ones that have the Spirit. So, we're very, very fortunate to be in our corner of the vineyard, where we know very, very clearly who is a member of the body of Christ and who isn't. Because there are many false teachers out there. There are many deceivers. And, then in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus was saying there are many in that will come and me saying, haven't we done many great miracles in thy name? And all this sort of stuff. And he'll say to me, depart from me, you that workers of iniquity, I never knew you. They want to take the badge of Jesus and sort of do their mighty works in this world. They might have hundreds of thousands of people in their ministries, and they might get out there and do this and do that. But it's not the Spirit. It's not driven by the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, I don't know you. In essence, you're just fielding this out of your own strength. And it isn't what I want, Jesus said. God, he wants the stamp to be put onto people. And when that stamp is there, it can't be taken away. And now when your house gets built and the building inspector goes, puts the stamp on the piece of paper, you know that you're indemnified. You know that you've got a callback. If something does wrong on you, can say, you builder, you were supposed to do it this way. And, you know, but we know the Lord will never be able to do that, the Lord, because he's always right. And all the people said, and we're always wrong. And, you know, we're in this position where we're growing in grace and seeing the Lord work in our lives, you know. And, you know, we have a token and an evidence. And if you think about when you become a citizen of a country and, you know, and you go away and you're given a passport and there's a regulatory authority which demonstrates that you are who you are. And, you know, and so when you come back into Australia from being overseas, you give your passport at the customs desk and they go, oh, yeah, Australian. Dish. In you come. They put a mark in and, you know, you're just free. You know, but if you haven't got one of those, they go, hang on a second. No, you're not getting in here. And you might end up in some detention centre going through some process to ratify who you are. And, you know, so we have got a spiritual passport. We are no longer strangers, but we are, you know, citizens of God's commonwealth now. You know, and we're no longer pilgrims and strangers. You know, we're actually part. We've been given the seal of the Holy Spirit, so it's the correct place to be. And the good thing is that people can see it, and it's genuine and it's authentic. And that's me done. Praise the Lord. Amen.